Canım Hüseyin, canım Hüseyin, canım Hüseyin, canım Hüseyin, canım Hüseyin, canım Hüseyin, canım. Selam ey babe rahmet, babe cennet. Selam ey babe rahmet, babe cennet. Selam ey rahbere.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وحبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين المظلومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
سيما بقية الله الأعظم حجة ابن الحسن أرواحنا وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. For the appearance of Imam al-Zaman, salawat.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Wa la'natullahi ala a'da'ihim wa zalimihim wa ghasibi huquqihim wa munkiri fadailihim. لعنة الدائمة من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فكان الحسن عليه الصلاة والسلام أشبه الناس خلقا وخلقا ومنطقا برسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله. Please say salawat all together.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
For the love of Prophet, peace be upon him, say salawat all together. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. And also for the love of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salatu wasalam, another salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And as we are commemorating the martyrdom of our 8th Imam Ali al-Raza, another salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum. So dear children and brothers and sisters, today I would like to speak about characteristics of our second Imam, that is Imam Mujtaba. We may know about some of the Aimas, but some of the Aimas we really do not know about them, and we don't pay attention to them. And one of them is our second Imam. It's kind of mazloom that we as Shias really do not know much about him. So today, before I speak about one of the narrations and stories in the life of our second Imam, I would like to say a few characteristics of Imam Mujtaba that we can apply in our life. It is said that he was a personality, when he wanted to prepare for Salat. You know, every day we have a course, affection, that we like to go for prayer. We do wudu every day. Let us see how Imam, they used to do wudu. When they like to prepare themselves for Salat, how was their character? It is said that when our second Imam, he wanted to go for wudu, and he was standing to take water, at that time his body was shaking. It was shivering. And he was asked, what is the reason? Why is that? Why your body is shaking? Why you are in completely state of fear? And he used to say, because now I am getting ready to be before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was his salat. It is said that when he wanted to go for Hajj, so some of you, some of the students and community members, they have been able to visit Karbala walking, right? They had this opportunity. It's a great opportunity. But you know about Imam Hassan, it's narrated that in his life, he has been able to walk from Medina to Makkah. Imagine how many times. 25 times. He was only 48 years old. He lived 48 years. In 28 years, somebody walks towards Makkah 25 times. And then he was asked that, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, what is the matter that you always like to walk? He says, because I believe I am going to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't like to go to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by riding on anything. I like to walk. So this tradition of walking is not tradition that is today's tradition. It's tradition that Ahlul Bayt Muslim, they used to do in their life. They love to do. Many of our scholars, they walk towards Karbala. They walk towards Karbala. About some of the scholars, it is said that if they lived 80 years of their lives, they walked towards Karbala at least 50 times. Some of them 60 times. Every year they used to walk. And Imam used to say that, I love walking towards the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 25 times. You know, giving charity, it's one of the characters that we love to do that. I would like to request children sometime practice that on Fridays. On Fridays, give charity in the morning. It is highly recommended. Take some money from your parents, even $1, $2. Give charity. Take money out, because that is going to save you. But that is our charity. We like to do that. In the life of our second Imam, it is said that twice Imam had given everything of his life. Everything. So can you imagine? All the stuff of his house, he had given for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's say, for example, you have many things at home. You have PlayStations and TV and, you know, refrigerators and stuff like that. Everything. When there is a house, then there are many things. Of course, at that time, there was no TV. But they had horses. They had camels. They had goats. They had sheep. Many things. And Imam gave twice in his life. And he said, I would like that if I can give up everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, you know, we need to practice what I can give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I can give. Can you think, for example, if your parents, they give you a $20, if you have a $20 and that is the amount that you have, do you really like to give that $20 for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You have only 20. And if you like to give, how much really you like to give? If I have 20,000, then what is something that I really like to give? If you like to count your love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you like to look at yourself, then do I really love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the amount of my love? How we can test? If we like to test ourselves, that how much love do I have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You can test it very easy. It's very easy. In order to test yourself that you really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then see what would you like to give for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you like to give, that is the amount that you love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you like to give $20, then that is the amount of love. If you like to give little more, then that is the amount. How much time you like to spend for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For example, some people they like to spend in the 25 minutes. We pray in the morning, that takes 5 minutes. Then Zuhr and Asr, that takes 10 minutes. Then Maghrib and Isha, that takes 10 minutes more. How many minutes total? 25 minutes, right? Some people they spend 25 minutes during the day for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the amount of love they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 25 minutes love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not more than that. If somebody likes to go for Hajj, so they like to take all the opportunities. Today, you know, caravans, they say that we will give you all facilities. And they like to give as much as money they can give, that they can take all facilities. They would like to stay in 5-star hotels. Right? They like to have a flight that is best of the flights. That is the amount of love they have. But on the other side, see, love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how it's compensated. That they don't like to go even the horses. Sometimes people, they used to offer them. Imam Sajjad was walking towards Makkah, and people, they came asking, Ya Rasulullah, we have horses, we have rides, come on. If somebody comes to you while you're walking towards Haram or towards Makkah, if somebody offers, you're going to take this opportunity. But Imam said, no, I don't like to go with ride. Then they ask, you are not taking anything. Imam was empty-handed. You like to go, when you like to travel at that time, you try to take every stuff that you like, every stuff that you need. You know, you take at least 3 to 4 dresses, and you know, you take toothpaste and for eating and drinking. Then you like to even take chewing-gum, because you're going for a travel. This chewing-gum is also, it's important for you that you like to take it for with yourself. But Imam is not taking anything. He's empty-handed. And he's not wearing shoes. He is walking barefooted. And they ask, why is that? Why are you not wearing anything? Why are you not taking anything with you? Why you go like that? You don't have food. He says, because I am going to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going before Him that gives everything when He is self-sufficient. And He gives everything to me when I go to the house of somebody. He has everything. I don't like to take anything. I don't like to take with me anything. That is the character of Imam Mujtaba. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, today our life, it's becoming completely meaningless. Really, life is becoming meaningless. And if we can say that there is some meaning for our life, then what it is? Some chatting, some emails, right? Sometimes looking at these iPhones and iPad, and some sleeping, some drinks, some eating, best of foods, and everybody keep adding. That is the meaning of life that we have, right? So think about that. Think for a while that what is really at the moment, what is meaning of my life? What is the aim of my life? Aimma alayhi salam, they had a meaningful life. Meaningful life. That whole their life, it becomes a history. We as a children, for example, if you are a child, don't think that you should be like everybody else. That if somebody is buying iPad, you have to buy that as well. And if there's iPad like 5, then I have to buy that as well. If somebody is buying the i6, then I have to buy that as well. You know, latest, modern, every day. Then keep adding with that. No, not necessarily. Not to go with the flow. Sometimes you have to be different than everybody else. Can you think that you can be different than other people as well? Imam Mujtaba, in his young age, while he was a child, it is said children were praying and he was standing alone. And somebody comes asking, why you don't play? Why you don't mix with other people? You know, sometimes they push you, they try to push you that you have to be part of that, part of the game. Come on. Are you something nerd? You know, you don't want to be with us? You don't want to be part of our game? They try to push you. You have to come. And Imam says, see reply of Imam. Sometimes you need to think. Imam said, we are not created in this world to play the games. We are created in this world for a mission. And I would like to complete that mission. An Imam is the personality whose life is full of mission. That whole life becomes example. Imam Hassan was like Prophet, peace be upon him. You know, in the life of Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim, how fortunate we are. That in Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim, we have many those who have been completely resemblance of Prophet, peace be upon him. Completely like Prophet, peace be upon him. As about Imam Hassan, please say salawat. It is said, Inna al-Hasana kana ashbahu an-nasi khalqan wa khulqan wa mantiqan bi Rasulillah.
Allahu akbar. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Sometimes people, they look at you, for example, sometimes they say that he's like his father. So if you like to be like your father, sometimes some people, they are like their father in their image. Some of them, they walk like their father. Some of them, they speak like their father. Some of them, they may have knowledge like their father. So we have different things. Sometimes we take various things from our parents. But about Imam Hassan, it is said that he was in character like Prophet, peace be upon him. In his speeches, he was like Prophet, peace be upon him. Khalqan, in creation, that anybody wanted to see Prophet, peace be upon him, he could see the face of Imam Mujtaba. And same was Ali Akbar. In the life of Imam Hussein, you can see that. So how Prophet, peace be upon him, had trained his children, that his children became same like Prophet, peace be upon him. Ash ashbahu an-nas khalqan wa khulqan wa mantaqan bi rasulillah. Today I would like to share one of the stories of the time of Imam Mujtaba alayhi salatu wasalam. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
It is narrated that it was time of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Imam was Caliph in Kufa. And a person came from King of the Room asking some question from the King of Sham. The King of Sham was, who was Caliph in the Sham, in Syria. Anybody knows? Who was the King of the Sham at the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen? Anybody knows?
Muawiyah
was king. I don't want to use caliph because he was not caliph. King in Syria. But he was pretending that he is the right caliph of the Prophet, peace be upon him. From Rome, a servant was being sent, a messenger was sent to ask questions. And he came, he wanted to try, to test that, is he right, deputy of the Prophet, or is he just claiming? When he comes asking question from Muawiyah, he could not answer. This has happened many times. He could not answer any. Then what he did, he asked from a Syrian, from his servants, from his slaves, that you go before Amir al-Mu'mineen and you should claim over there that you came from Rome, because he did not want to send the same person, and he did not want to say that, you know, I don't know anything. He wanted to take answer from Amir al-Mu'mineen and give answer and reply to that person as well. So what he did, that he took somebody from Syria, asked him to go to Kufa and ask those questions from Amir al-Mu'mineen. He came to Kufa and he said that, I came from Rome. I want to ask some questions. So you know, our Aimma alayhi salam, they were mind reader. Imam looked at him. He said, you're lying. You did not come from Rome. There was somebody came from Rome to the king of Syria and he wanted to ask question from him. He did not know those questions, answers of those questions. And then he sent you to ask those questions from me. So please say salawat all together.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And he accepted. He said that, yes, that is what it happened. I came from King of Sham, Muawiyah. He said, okay, if you like to ask those questions, I have three my children over here. One, his name is Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. But then Amir al-Mu'mineen, he said that these two are the children of the Prophet, peace be upon him. There is one that is mine. That is Muhammad Hanafiya. He said, I have three children. Two of them are the children of Prophet. Because Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein were called children of the Prophet. And that has been testified by the Quran. Can anybody say where Quran has said that they are children of the Prophet? In what verse? There is a verse in Quran that says these two are children of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Anybody would like to guess? There is a verse in Quran that says Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain are both children of the Prophet, peace be upon him. You can no, you can say the meaning of that, or you can say what verse is that? MashaAllah. So let the children say. That is verse of Mubahala. In ayah of Mubahala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Prophet, peace be upon him, you bring your children and we will bring our children. And at that time, Prophet had taken two children, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain. And Prophet used to say in his life, Al-Hassanu wal-Hussain abnaya. This is one of the hadiths of Prophet. Al-Hassanu wal-Hussain abnaya. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussain, both are my children. So that means they became children of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And Amirul Mu'mineen used to say in his life as well, these are two children of Prophet, peace be upon him. I am one that is Muhammad Hanafiya. If you like to ask question from each one of them, you can ask. So then, this Syrian had chosen to ask from Imam Hassan Mujtaba alayhi salatu wasalam. So let me introduce you one of the questions. Girls, can you pay attention? Ladies, can you pay attention, please? Good girl. Thank you. There are two narrations. One narration, it says that when they came asking, Imam Mujtaba started repeating their questions. He said, these are the questions that you like to ask. First question that you have, what is the distance between right and wrong? What is the distance between haq and batil? Second question, how much is the distance between east and west? Yes, yeah. Remember those questions. Then third question, what is the distance between sky and earth? Okay, memorize those questions. Then he had asked that your question, that what is rainbow? You know, have you seen rainbows? What is that? And then he had asked another question, that when souls of mu'mineen are taken, where they are placed? What is that spring that is called where souls of mu'mineen are placed? And another question, that when mushrikeen and kuffar, their souls are taken, what is the spring where they are placed? And another question, so I'm not going to say all the questions, another question that he asked, what is the hardest thing in this world? What is the hardest thing in this world? So those who have heard in the past, of course, you know, some of you already have heard that, but I would like to say for children. Very first question, what was the first question? Anybody remembers? What is the difference between haq and batil? How much is the distance between haq and batil? Anybody heard about that from children? Only from children. Okay. So now Imam started answering those questions. Let me read those questions that Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, how he answered. Please say salawat. Imam alayhi salam answered like that. He said that the right is only what is seen with eyes, and various you may hear many things that are wrong. And Amir al-Mu'mineen had said like this. Imam said, between right and wrong, between haq and batil, there is distance of only four fingers. Only four fingers. How we can prove that? Only four fingers. Can you prove that? How we can prove that? Yes, if you put your four fingers over here, can you put your four fingers over here and see what you see, that is right. What you hear, that is wrong. See, it's four fingers. Between eyes and ear, there is a distance of four fingers. Between haq and batil, if somebody asks you what is the difference and distance between haq and batil, you can say only four fingers. What you see with your eyes, that is right. What you just hear, don't trust what you hear. Try to testify that. Try to think about that, reflect about that. We keep hearing. You know, majalis, we keep hearing. You have to go and think about that sometimes. Whatever you hear, that may not be true. But whatever you see, that is going to be true. It has to be testified. If there is an incident that is taking place and you know, you receive from the WhatsApp and you know, these Vibers today and emails, if somebody says on WhatsApp, Imam Zaman has appeared, don't trust on that. That is not Imam Zaman. That is Imam, maybe Imam Zaman of America. But that is not real Imam Zaman. For Imam Zaman, it's going to be a voice that is going to be heard. And that voice is going to be from the sky. It's going to be miraculous. So, dear brothers and sisters, this is one of the definition that Imam said. Second question. What was second question?
What is the distance between the earth and
the
sky?
MashaAllah. What is the distance between earth and sky? Imam said that what lies between heavens and earth are supplication of the wronged man and extension of the sight. You know, if you stand outside and you raise your head and start looking, right? Your eyesight is going to see up till the heaven. Isn't that right? So the distance between earth and sky is one eyesight. Second, Imam said, when a wronged person, a mazloom, an oppressed person, when he makes a cry, his cry is heard on the skies. That is a cry that is heard on the sky. If we don't pay attention to the people, those who are oppressed in Palestine, in Iraq, in Pakistan, in Iran, then believe me that their cries are heard in the heaven. But we don't hear. We don't pay attention. So there are two answers that Imam gave. One is eyesight that it can see. The distance that it can see, that is the distance between your earth and sky. What was the third question? What was the third question? Yes?
What's different from east and west?
MashaAllah, the distance between east and west. And Imam alayhi salatu wasalam had answered that what lies between the east and west is a day. The distance between east and west is a day. You know, sun travels from east to west in a day. And this whole day, 24 hours, that becomes a distance between earth and sky. And then Imam said another sentence. He said, if anybody says any other definition, if anybody says that there is another distance between east and west, just make them liar. Say them these are liar. Because this is the real distance. 24 hours, a whole day, is distance between east and west. Then Imam said, the galaxy is the ribs of heavens, and place of which the torrential water ascends to Noah, the prophet, regarding the rainbow. Imam said there are two names that people they call it. One is Qawsul Qaza. Don't call it Qawsul Qaza. People they used to call it. Because Qaza is Shaitan. You know the colors that we see after raining on the sky? Imam says that is Qawsullah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings that sign that people are being saved. Now there is no rain after that. When it was time of Hazrat Nuh, after raining, after flooding, there was a sign of the safety, and that was the rainbow, beginning of the rainbow. And that is one of the signs that gives a message to the people that Qawsullah is there. And Allah has saved the people in all over the world. Please say salawat. Then another question that was asked, that was about one of the hardest thing in this world. And Imam started replying about that. Imam said that one of the hard thing in this world is stone. But there is harder than that. What is that? Harder than stone. There is something that can break stone as well. Sorry? Heart? They said heart. Huh? See? There is something that can break stones. Imam said iron can break stone, right? If you have iron, you can cut the stone. But there is something that is harder than iron.
Diamond?
Is that? There is something that can kill iron as well. Iron. Good girl, mashallah. Fire. If you put iron in the fire, then it's gonna go. But there is something that is harder than fire.
Water.
Water, mashallah. Water can kill fire. It can make it cool. But there is something that is harder than water. There is something that is harder than water. What is that?
Air.
Is there wind? There is harder than water that takes water in itself and moves from one place to the other place. Clouds, yes. These clouds, they carry water. You know, have you seen sometimes water is running from these clouds, right? They take this water and they go from one country to the other country. They keep moving. Amirul Mu'mineen said, opportunities are like clouds. Opportunities are like clouds. They come from one side and go to the other side. Take opportunities seriously. Take the benefit of opportunities. So the clouds are harder than water, right? Is there anything harder than clouds?
Sky.
Brother had said before. Air. Air is harder than clouds. Because air can take these clouds from one place to the other place. What is harder than air? Wind itself is air. What is harder than wind? Harder than wind is the order and commandments of an angel that is taking control on the wind. For everything there is a commander. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed an angel for the water, angel for the winds, angel for sky, angel for the earth, angel for the people. As we keep moving, we have two angels all the time. They are always looking at our good deeds and bad deeds. So Imam said, an angel is harder than these winds. Because if he likes to stop the winds, he will be able to stop the winds. And whenever he likes, he can blow those winds. But there is something that is harder than that angel. Before Allah. Before Allah. Imam said there is a commandment of Allah that a day is going to come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say all the angels die today. Mutu. That commandment of Allah, that order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is harder than angels. Angels are created with the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many angels, they are going to be created with our actions. It is said when people they go to the ziyarat of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Allah creates angels. Allah creates angels for them. And they come and they welcome them in Karbala. They take care of them. And when they like to leave, at that time they go and they say farewell to them. That is how Zahir is important. The one who likes to visit Karbala, that's very important. So the commandment of Allah is harder than that. And over the commandment, there is another that is harder than that. And that is Ulil Amr. Appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam. The one who has commandment of everything from Allah. He is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam of the age, Imam Zaman, is harder than anything after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. Because he is taking control of everything that we receive. All the sustenance that we receive that comes through Imam Zaman, ajallahu farajahu sharif.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
When Imam completed the answers, it is said this Syrian, he accepted Imam. He said, Ashhadu annaka ibn Rasulullah. Ashhadu annaka al-Imam ibn al-Imam. I believe that you are Imam and you are son of Imam. Now let us say condolences to Imam of the age today. Dear children, brothers and sisters. It is narrated that the same Imam was poisoned. The night like yesterday and day like today, there was a tragedy in Medina that Muawiyah had sent a poison to Ju'da, the wife of Imam. Our holy Imam was fasting. You know, when you're fasting, it's a very difficult time when it comes to the time of breaking the fast. Can you imagine that when it comes to the time that you like to break your fast And at that time, if somebody does not give somebody water, if you don't have anything to drink, then it becomes difficult. But if somebody comes and offers you something that is poisoning, that has poison in it, sallallahu alayka ya Hasan al-Mujtaba, our salam upon you, O son of Rasulullah. That how Imam Hasan al-Mujtaba broke his fast, that she offered him milk, that she put poison in it. When Imam drank only few drops of that, at that time Imam said, Ya Aduwwat Allah, Ya Aduwwat Allah, Qataltani, Qatalak Allah, O enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you made me killed, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kill you. And you know what, Imam, when he started, the poison, it started affecting Imam. At that time he called Jo'da. He started speaking with his wife. He said, Ya Aduwwat Allah, wasn't I good husband for you? Wasn't I good Imam for you? Did I harm your life? Did I you do any bad thing in your life? Why did you do that? She became ashamed. She started crying. But it is said that that poison, it started affecting the body of Imam Mujtaba. That sometimes the part of liver of Imam Mujtaba were being broken and they were coming out from the body of Imam Mujtaba. And sometimes Imam Hussein came close to Imam Mujtaba and he started looking at the pieces of body that were coming. It is narrated that only one third of the body was remaining. Whole body of Imam Hassan Mujtaba came through the blood outside of the body. And people, when they came looking at the body of Imam Mujtaba, they could not recognize Imam Mujtaba. In only 3 days, Imam Mujtaba's body was completely changed. It became poisoning. It became completely green. Sallallahu alayka ya Imam al-Mujtaba. It is narrated that when sisters, they came visiting Imam Mujtaba, and because he was very beloved for Zainab salamullah alayha, when she came close, Imam Mujtaba alayhi salatu wasalam asked from his companion, can you take all the blood that has been remaining in a plate, that was remaining in a pot? Imam said, can you take it out, because my Zainab wants to visit me. And he became sitting down that he is normal. He does not have any problem. He wanted to pretend to his sister that, oh my sister Zainab, you should not be worried. And then she came and she started crying. And the day like this, Imam Mujtaba, after his poisoning, he started saying his farewell will. He started saying his wasiya. He called Imam Mujtaba. He said, oh my dear brother, when I get died, at that time you need to give me ghusl. Ghassilni, oh my dear brother. Kaffinni, oh my dear brother. Oh my dear brother Hussein, take my body and bury that with Prophet, peace be upon him. You know, Imam Hassan Mujtaba had a wish. You know, people, when they have wish, you try to fulfill that wish. If somebody asks you that what you need to do after my death, sometimes some people, they say, take my body to Karbala and Najaf, bury me with Aimma alayhi salam, bury me with the Prophet, peace be upon him. Imam Hassan Mujtaba also said, oh my brother, take my body and bury that with the Holy Prophet, with my grandfather. So Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam got busy. He gave him a ghusl. He gave best of the kafan. Then he invited the people. Then they recited janaza, funeral of Imam Mujtaba, close to the grave of Prophet, peace be upon him. After recitation of janaza, then they took the body to bury close to the Prophet, peace be upon him. At that time, Marwan came. From other side, the wife of Prophet Aisha came. And she was riding on the camel. And she started asking, they asked that we will not let Imam Hassan Mujtaba to be buried with the body of Prophet, peace be upon him, with the grave of his grandfather. And they took the arrows. They attacked on the body of Imam Mujtaba. Ya Imam Mujtaba, ayyuhal masmum al maghloom, sallallahu alayka, ayyuhal masmum al maghloom, الذي قتل بالسم الجفا. You know, Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam said, let they take the body towards Baqi and bury that with the Baqi. But I would like to say, Imam Mujtaba, your body was taken again and it was buried in Baqi with the respect and honor. But sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah, whose body was never buried 3 days. It was remaining in the battlefield of Karbala for 3 days. It is said that his head was remaining for 2 months outside the grave, and that was taken from one city to the other city, from one palace to the other palace. Sometimes that head was remaining under the courts, it was remaining under the member of Yazid. Sometimes they used to take that stick in their hands and they started hitting on the deed of Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Ya Hussain Maghloom, sallallahu alayka wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifina'ik. Say all together, as-salamu ala al-Hussain wa ala Ali ibn al-Hussain wa ala awlad al-Hussain wa ala أصحاب الحسين. اللهم ارزقنا زيارة قبر الحسين عليه السلام. اللهم ارزقنا زيارة البقيع. اللهم ارزقنا زيارة قبر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم ارزقنا زيارة قبر الرضا عليه السلام. مشهد إمام الرضا. You know, today also we commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Rida. I would like to say only one phrase, brothers and sisters, that Imam Rida is called Gharibul Ghuraba. But you know, today Imam Rida alayhi salatu salam, his haram was filled with the people, and people from all over the world, they went to say salam upon Imam Rida. But Baqi was empty, there was nobody over there. Sallallahu alayka ya Mawlana ya Gharib al-Ghuraba ya Aba al-Hassan Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين.
سلام کعبه دلها حسین جان، سلام شمع ما فلها حسین جان. حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جان، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم. سلام ای باب رحمت، باب جنت، سلام ای باب رحمت.
سیدی تصویری شمع سوزان با مداحی حسن شیرازی.
خدایا آتش زده چو قلبم تمام خیمه ها.